What is your New Year's resolution? Ito ang laging tinatanong na pabiro tuwing bagong taon. Do you have any for this year? Pero na ba kayo? And how good were you in keeping your New Year's resolution during the past year? A news organization sa US ran a survey gathering the opinion of some 275,000 Americans for their New Year's resolution for this year. At ito ang results na survey nila. Envelope. Wala. Okay. Survey results. Top on their list is actually doing my New Year's resolution. Second, trying something new. I like the third one. Eat more of my favorite foods. Number four, ito, lagi ito sa listahan. Lose weight, diet. Yun. And number five, last, is upgrade my technology. Gadgets galore. Yan. Meron bang nag-match sa New Year's resolution niya? Kung meron na kayong nalistang resolution or wala pa, I would like all of us, me included, to consider numbering our days as one of our resolutions for this year. This is the passage that we will study, Psalm 90, verses 10 to 12, which was read to us earlier by Sister Iris Santiago. Let me read it again sa ESV version. Psalm 90, verses 10 to 12. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. This is God's word. The context for this passage, Psalm 90, is a song and a prayer written by Moses for the people of Israel. In this psalm, Moses sings of the frailty or the weakness of man, ang kahinaan ng tao, and the brevity or the shortness of life, ang pagkaiksi ng buhay ng tao, contrasting it with the eternity of God. And based on this, Moses appeals for God's compassion. Some biblical scholars say Psalm 90 was written by Moses for the Israelites as they were about to cross the River Jordan and enter the Promised Land. This was mentioned in Deuteronomy 32, and it was near the end of the 40 years na yung nation of Israel was wandering in the desert. Yung wandering nila is yung result of their rebellion and disobedience against God. Their parents had followed Moses out of Egypt through the parted Red Sea, and yet they rebelled. So God swore that they would not enter the land. For the Israelites to accomplish their mission and for God to establish the work of their hands, the people needed to embrace the covenant and live in faith toward God. The central theme of this psalm is found in verse 12, where it says, "So teach us to number our days, so we may get a heart of wisdom." My prayer for us this afternoon is that as we study God's word, we would see how God wants us to live our lives knowing that our days are numbered. The main point for our study is, because our days are numbered, God's people must live in wisdom and the fear of the Lord. Because our days are numbered, God's people must live in wisdom and the fear of the Lord. And under this, we have three sub-points. Number one, the shortness of life, or the shortness of man's life, which is found in verse 10. Second, the seriousness of God's wrath, found in verse 11. And third, the source of true wisdom, which is found in verse 12. Let's get to our first point, the shortness of man's life. Verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet the span is all is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. In this verse, Moses is saying that man's life is finite. It has a beginning, and it has an end. And life is described as full of toiling, trouble, or sorrow, and transience or temporariness. What does he mean by the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80? Moses is not saying that people will live only up to 70 years, or by reason of health, 80. Meaning either you have good genes, or you take care of your health really well. Because regardless of whether it is 70 or 80 years, or kahit lumampas ka pa, at maging centenarian tayo, umabot tayo ng 100, the reality is that our years of human existence is short when compared with eternity. Napakaiksi ng buhay ng tao compared to eternity. Last month, we had a get-together with friends and family who are actually with us today, who have just returned from Dubai, from their vacation sa Pinas. Napagkwentuhan namin yung cost of living sa Pilipinas, yung traffic, magkano na ang rent, at pati na rin sa usapan, nasama sa usapan yung tungkol sa life insurance, pag-invest sa memorial lots, at pagkuha ng memorial plan. Habang napapag-usapan namin to, natatawa kami dahil parang morbid. But we did acknowledge that life is short. Death is a reality. And yung buhay ng tao will surely come to pass. It may sound funny, but if we pause for a moment at isipin natin ang ating mga mahal sa buhay who have passed away, we can see what Moses meant when he said, our lives are soon gone and we fly away. About this time last year, many of us here, ngayon, have friends and loved ones who are no longer with us. Yung mga, if we look back, the same people or some of our loved ones that were with us last year are no longer with us this year. They have passed away. Life is short. Continuing in verse 10, Moses says something about life being full of toiling or hard work. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, yung buong chapter, na chapter 1 of Genesis, we read how God worked when He created the heavens and the earth. God created work. He ordained work. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, after He has created man, so verse 15, God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And since God created and ordained it, work was supposed to be good. But the story did not end there. Genesis 3 follows Genesis chapter 2. And so Genesis chapter 3, we read the fall of Adam and Eve. They sinned against God. And because of their sin, humanity was cursed. And part of the curse was with work. Makikita natin sa Genesis chapter 3 verse 19, sinabi, from the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the dust of the ground. Because of the fall, work was cursed and became hard or burdensome. Naging toil. Sin changed work. It became toil, extremely hard. The ground resisted Adam. Instead of willingly responding to his labor as it did dun sa time niya sa Eden, hindi lahat ng efforts ni Adam after the fall ay nagsasucceed. Nagkaroon ng potential effect na ang result ay frustration and failure or pagkabigo. Makikita natin sa Old Testament, people toiled as farmers, shepherds, soldiers, and even as slaves. The first two sons of Adam and Eve, si Cain at saka si Abel. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, were herdsmen. They owned many herds. David was a shepherd. His brothers served in the army. The Israelites, when they were slaves in Egypt, toiled under the heavy hand of Pharaoh and his army. They had to make bricks from straw and later had to gather the straw for themselves, and maintain the same production. And the Israelites cried out to the Lord, for the work was too much to bear. It was pure toiling under the sun. And this truth about toiling, about work, carried on until sa time natin ngayon. Our work can often be frustrating, stressful, mentally and physically draining. Hindi lahat ng efforts natin ay nagsasucceed. Hindi lahat ng efforts natin ay na-appreciate. And like Adam, it has become a source of frustration and failure sa atin. The other thing is, work now can also be a means of sin. It may become an idol where we enjoy it so much and it consumes us. It consumes us. We are finding our significance sa mga trabaho natin, in our positions and our possessions. So how do we view work? How do we view our work? Does it consume us to the point where we are already sinning against God, hurting our relationships with the people around us, our families, our brothers and sisters? On the other hand, how do we value our work? Do we value our work that it is a blessing from God? Even if it is full of hardship? Do we consider how God views work? See, even after the fall, God still cares about our work. He designed us to work. Work continued even when sin entered the picture. See, work can be a means of grace, of God's grace in our lives. God sanctifies us through Jesus using yung circumstances ng buhay natin, including our work. Through our work, God grows our character, makes us more like Jesus, and prepares us for the eternal rest in heaven. In the same verse, Moses also mentioned that man's life is full of trouble. Or in some translations, it says sorrow. So, saan to nanagaling? How is Moses able to say this? Well, trouble arises when we sin against and go against God's laws and commands. And we suffer yung consequences ng kanyang wrath. Moses was with the people of Israel for 40 years. They were wandering in the desert for 40 years. And along the way, he had witnessed the death of many of his kababayan. Because of the repeated sin and disobedience, the rebellion against God. Even Moses disobeyed God. And his disobedience was judged by God. He was not able to enter the promised land. God only allowed him to see it from a distance. Because of his sins, because of our sins, man's life is full of trouble and sorrow. How about us, mga kapatid? Is there any sin sa buhay natin ngayon na ating inaalagaan? A sin that we need to confess and repent sa Panginoon? What keeps us from totally obeying God? Man's life is not only short and full of trouble and sorrow. It is also transient. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. We are all FWs dito sa Dubai. We are very, very familiar with this. No one understands being a transient like us. We know we are guest workers, dependent on a residence visa. We lose our jobs, we lose our visa, or the right to live and work in this country. Ganun lang kasimple yon. Even King Solomon knows what it meant to be transient. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes, generation comes, but the earth remains forever." David, the father of Solomon, knows what it meant, what it means to be transient. Sinabi ni David sa Psalm chapter 39:4, "O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am." Let's go to our second point, the seriousness of God's wrath, which is found in verse 11. Verse 11, "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" The Hebrew word for consider is yodea, meaning, aside from consider, other meaning is knows, understands, recognizes, to distinguish, to know by experience, to recognize and admit, acknowledge, confess. The who here that Moses is referring to is the Israelites throughout the 40 years that they have wandered in the desert. They have all seen what disobedience brings. It brings out curses, brings death. And every time that they obey, it brings blessing, brings life. Now, even if God's chosen people, the Israelites, have seen, they have known, they have experienced both the blessing and curses from God, yet they keep on going back to their sin of idolatry. Bakit? It's because of their sinful nature, of their sinful hearts. What about the wrath of God? Ano naman ito? To understand what the scripture says about concerning the wrath of God, importante na kailangan natin i-consider ang kanyang character, ang context kung saan ito pinag-uusapan, at kung ano ang dahilan o kanino ang Panginoon nagagalit o nagalit. So, God is holy. God will always be holy. He is holy, kaya kinasusuklaman niya, nire-reject niya, at sinisira niya lahat ng klase ng kasalanan. All forms of sin, which would offend, violate, criticize, or anything nakakalaban against His holiness. Kaya sa ganung basis natin dapat tinitingnan ang poot or yung wrath ng Panginoon. God's anger and wrath must always be seen in relation to His maintaining and defending His attributes of holiness, righteousness, love, and justice. J.I. Packer in his book, Knowing God, describes God's wrath as, quote, "God's wrath in the Bible is never the capricious self-indulgent, irritable, morally ignoble thing that human anger so often is. It is instead a right and necessary reaction to objective moral evil. Medyo mabigat siya lunukin sa English. If you're not an English native speaker. So, in Tagalog, what he says is, ang puot ng Diyos sa Biblia ay hindi ang pabago-bago, makasarili, irritable, immoral, at nakakahiya na bagay na katulad ng madalas na galit ng tao. Sa halip, ang puot na ito ng Diyos ay isang tama at kinakailangang reaksyon sa immoral na kasamaan. So what is the wrath of God? It is God's righteous anger against sin. Having now an understanding of God's wrath, we need to consider the result and the seriousness of God's wrath, which is punishment, destruction, and even death. Throughout man's history, sa kasaysayan ng tao sa Old Testament, from the time of Adam and Eve, sa pag-disobey nila, na ang naging result is exile from God's presence. To Cain, to the flood, sa time ni Noah, sa giniwa ng Panginoon kay Pharaoh at sa Egypt, nang ayaw nilang paalisin ang mga Israelites, hanggang sa panahon ni Moses when they were wandering for 40 years in the desert. Stories in Judges, Kings, even David, Solomon, the prophets. We can see God's wrath, its results, its effects. And even in the New Testament, we can see God's wrath revealed. John chapter 3, verse 36. Let's go there. John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Romans 1:18. Let's go there again. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So makikita natin, even mula sa Old Testament up to sa New Testament, even up to now, we see the wrath of God. Makikita natin ang effect nito sa atin, sa ating mga kasalanan. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 says, all of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So why is this? If we know that God is holy, and because of his holiness, he hates sin, and is wrathful against sin, and the result of that is eternal death, why do we keep on sinning? Let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. Paul writes, Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. For I do not understand my actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I do and what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Man is sinful by nature. Makikita natin to sa Genesis 3, after the fall of Adam and Eve. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21 talks about the works of the flesh. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like this. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Familiar sa atin yung list na to? In one time or another, evident ito sa buhay natin. Or sometimes, even up to now, we still struggle with this. This carnal, sinful nature and desires makes us indifferent to the seriousness of God's wrath. Our sinful nature makes us indifferent sa Panginoon when we worship, even when we worship Him. When? How? When we worship Him in vain. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 13 says, "These people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." And Jesus even echoed this when he addressed the Pharisees. So Mark chapter 7 verses 6 to 7, when he replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." So when do we act indifferent sa Panginoon? When we worship Him in vain. So how do we worship God? Do we consider worshiping Him in light of His righteous anger over sin? What is the position of your heart even now with regards to God's sovereignty, His righteousness, and the seriousness of His wrath against sin when it comes to worshiping Him? If you look back, or when we look back to 2019, how did we worship Him? John Piper, in one of his sermons about God's wrath, said, "The greatest peril facing every person in every ethnic group, in every place on earth, and at every time in history, is the righteous wrath of God against guilty sinners, leading to everlasting suffering, unless God Himself rescues us from His own judgment. Poverty, hunger, disease, war, crime, climate change, addictions, homelessness, ignorance, sex trafficking, these bring great global suffering. But they pale in comparison to the peril of being under the wrath of God. These things, they are all tragic, but they are all temporary. They may last a lifetime, but God's wrath is eternal. Unless God Himself rescues us from His own judgment. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 23 that for all, not some, but all, lahat, tanan, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. At sinabi rin niya sa Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Kamatayan ang kabayaran sa kasalanan. So, since all of us, lahat tayo, are makasalanan, we are all sinners, at ang kabayaran sa kasalanan ay kamatayan, then what awaits us is what John Piper describes, the righteous wrath of God against guilty sinners, leading to everlasting suffering. Unless God Himself rescues us from His own judgment. And thank God He did. God, in His grace and mercy and love, sent Jesus, His Son, to accomplish and fulfill God's plan of reconciling sinners to God Himself. That's what Jesus exactly did. Jesus did exactly what no man could, can, and will ever do. He gave up the comfort and riches of heaven. Jesus had eternal existence, but He became human and lived a short life. He was tempted in all points, but He was without sin. He took our toiling, our trouble upon Himself. He became the man of sorrows for us, bearing all the weight of our sin and shame. He died on that cross for us, for our sins, and He was buried, and on the third day He was resurrected from the dead. He has ascended to heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God as our high priest. We are now justified before a holy God, because of what Christ has accomplished for us. Jesus is the better Moses. You see, Moses was a mediator between God and the Israelites. But Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, a better covenant, founded on better promises. Eternal life with God instead of eternal condemnation. Jesus lived a life of perfect wisdom, in complete obedience, in true fear, in true awe of the Father. He fully understood the wrath of God and that it had to be satisfied. It had to be atoned for. And so He fulfilled that requirement. He was the perfect atonement, the propitiation for our sins, satisfying God's righteous wrath against all sin. So how would we respond? How should we respond? This brings us now to our point number three. Point number three, the source of true wisdom, verse 12. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Since the fall, no human has kept the law of God perfectly. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, we are unable to keep God's law. However, even if no one can keep the law, it is there, andun yung law, that we may know the holy nature of God and the sinful nature of our hearts. Bakit? So we realize our need for a Savior. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Let's go there. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If we take all the wisdom of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, the wisdom of the gospel, this is the power of God that will cause our hearts to be transformed. This is our response to God's love, to the love of God that he showed us in Christ Jesus. This is what will enable us to live a life full of wisdom, in response to what God has done for us in Christ, and for us to live a life of continued repentance and faith and obedience, and for us to grow in Christ-likeness until Jesus returns for his people. This is what will lead us to make wise decisions, discerning what is right from wrong, because of what it took for God to make us a new creation and give us new hearts. His very own Son, Jesus Christ. Moses asked only two things from God for himself personally. And it is that he entered the promised land. Two things. One, that he entered the promised land. Second, that he can see the face of God. He did not see the face of God. God only showed him his back. And he did not enter the promised land. He only saw it from a distance. And he died after that. If only Moses lived to see what Jesus has done, he would have known that God gave him what he desired. Because Jesus became the Exodus. Jesus left heaven. He left heaven to become man, to live the perfect life of obedience and to be the perfect sacrifice, the full and final atonement for our sins, so that you and I can enter the promised land, the holy presence of God, and to be reconciled to God, and to be able to see him face to face, and to be with him forever. Brothers and friends, our lives are short to give in to our sinful nature and thus receive the wrath of God. We need Jesus Christ. We need Christ who became to us the wisdom from God for our righteousness, for our sanctification, for our redemption. I urge us all, be reconciled to God. Not just as our New Year's resolution, but as our all life resolution. Because our days are numbered, God's people must live in wisdom and fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word and for your eternal life in Christ. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you that by your power, we can live today and the rest of our earthly lives with godly wisdom, and that we may glorify, honor, and praise you, the one, the only wise God, the one and only true God, our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.